from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yeah, I mean, he just wasn't as sharp as he was in the outing against Seattle. You know, they gave up the homer to Bush and then didn't get hit real hard, a lot of miss hits and fortunate breaks, I thought, for them. You know, really bad pitch to Happ in that spot. Yeah, just didn't like the split going really, really well in Seattle. I thought that was really inconsistent. The fastball just didn't have the same amount of life that he had. It's kind of searching out there for me.
I got a few more swings and misses last start. It's easier to pitch when you're swinging. Hey, we're getting swings and misses. These guys are a good contact team, and they got a piece of just about everything. I was in and around the zone, and they just put some swings on some decent pitches.
Vinny and Haney here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster, still with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Send in your favorite songs from your favorite female artists or bands, and Quick Draw, he'll handle it from there. Orioles, they dropped game one against the Cubs last night out at the Yard, 9-2. You heard from the losing pitcher there, Dean Kramer, who drops to 4-5 on the year. Not a good night for Dean. 4 innings, 7 hits, 5 earned runs, only 3 strikeouts, had the 3 walks as well. And really from the beginning, it was bad for Kramer. He gives up the home run to start the game to Bush. And from there, it kind of just starts to snowball. I mean, the Cubs scored runs in each of the first 4 innings. And you heard it there, and I agree. I think it was Brandon Hyde that we just heard say that it was some soft contact. He had some bad luck at times as well. The defense wasn't spectacular at times behind him, but neither was he. He didn't field his position at times, and he just didn't make pitches. And you heard him, you know, it's easy to pitch when you're missing bats. When you're missing bats and you pitch against Seattle, that's kind of going to be the case. Those guys strike out, you know, with the best of them. But going up against the Cubs team, that's not great. But at any given time, their bats can beat you as well. And Jameson Taillon, who's, you know, no scrub in his own right, pitched pretty well last night. Just a recipe for a disaster for a guy like Dean Kramer.
Well, he gave up a lot of hits with 2 strikes, mm-hmm. Cordell. You know, the one to Happ was a 2-striker that, you know, was meat. He threw him a nice piece of meat there because the ball didn't move, just hung. And you thought, you know, watching that first inning and stuff, that ball's going to be flying out of here, you know, because Gunner hit it to the wall, thought that was a home run, and they had some shots. But then after that, wasn't a lot of hard hit balls,
No.
You know, and it was like, off this guy's glove and off that guy's glove and stuff. So, yeah, I thought that Kramer, he wasn't great, but they didn't, you know, he had a couple hard hit balls. Other than that, you know, like Ben McDonald kept saying, he can't get people out with two strikes. Nope. He didn't have the pitch to put people away.
No, he didn't. And look, it doesn't help when you have two errors in the game as well. Like I said, the defense, they weren't on the left side, too. Yeah, the defense wasn't sharp really at all last night. The bats really weren't hot for the Orioles either. Only five hits in the game. Jordan Westberg, who would go on to be announced that he will be in the All-Star game replacing Rafael Devers for the Boston Red Sox. So that's good to hear. And I thought Westberg did deserve to be in there, and he kind of reminded everybody of why he deserves to be in there.
Yep.
With that with the home run that he had, the solo shot to left center. I mean, just and they said it on the broadcast last night, just kind of the middle of the field for Jordan Westberg. He owns that area. He's so good and so consistent as well. So good to see him get the nod to get in. But as a team yesterday, it just wasn't there. For the Orioles,
I thought they looked tired. You know, and when you think
of
this,
probably impacts.
Well, when you look at it, they played Oakland Sunday, 1 o'clock Oakland time, so 4 o'clock our time. So the game's over 7. They're on a plane probably at 9 Eastern, 9 or 10 Eastern, 11, 12, 1, 2. They probably land at 3, 4 in the morning. They get into bed probably 6 or 7 in the morning, and then on Monday, that's their off day. You know, you're sleeping all day because you're catching up on your sleep. So you can kind of see it. It was an off day, but not an off day because traveling from west back to east. So I expect them to be much better tonight, Cordell.
And speaking of off days, Corbin Burnes got the extra off day. He was supposed to go yesterday, and that's kind of been a big talking point. With him being moved to today, if he was able to pitch yesterday, he would pitch again on Sunday at 11:30 against the Yankees. But instead, that won't be the case. And now he's in position to be able to, you know, probably start the All-Star game next week for the American League. And I think there's an argument to be made on whether or not Burnes should have pitched last night. I mean, sure, it'd be great to get him twice in a week. You know, he got the extra day after the babies were born. But I don't know how much of an extra day it is once you take those twins home. And, you know, it's not much of an off day from there.
And then he was also at home on, I don't know where home is, but he was home Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, when you hear about what Burnes does, he's such a guy with a routine.
Right.
Maybe that kind of threw off his routine. And, you know, he's got enough juice, and he's a veteran guy where, you know, he and Hyder, I'm sure, discuss how you feeling, what are you thinking. So I'm not concerned at all, and it was probably a decision made by both. What do you think, Norm?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you're facing a team like the Yankees going into the All-Star break, I'm kind of with Cordell. I'd like to have my ace, my Cy Young caliber guy, going for that series finale on Sunday afternoon. The All-Star game is great. I mean, you already get the recognition just by being named to the team. Pitching in the game would be an added bonus, right? I mean, we'd like to watch that as fans, but that doesn't count for anything. Mm-hmm. That doesn't give you an extra win in the win column. Sunday's game is actually something that matters. So, I mean, if they made the decision based solely on the All-Star game, I'd have a problem with that. But if it was a rest thing, then no, I got no problem with it.
Yeah, and I do think they probably had plenty of dialogue between Burnes and Hyde even Elias or whoever else is involved. I'm kind of in the middle. Like, a part of me, like you said, Nolan, I want to see Burnes out there, you know, get him twice this week, go into the All-Star break, feeling really good about yourself. And beating the Yankees over the weekend will really have the Orioles kind of going into the break on a high. At the same time, you trust Burnes and his body and what they decide to do with him. If I'm not really, you know, hung on him starting the All-Star game, like you said, if that was the reason, then I probably have a little bit of a problem about that, because what are we playing for here? Are we playing to play in the All-Star game, or are we playing to win games in October? I think really what's got it more of a conversation is the fact that Kramer stunk last night.
Yeah.
If Kramer goes out there and shoves, we probably aren't saying much about Burns not pitching last night.
No, because the guy who couldn't sleep last night was Elias. He's probably saying, damn, you know, do we have two or do we have three? Now it's like we have two and I don't know if we have three.
And I'd say a pop, because any of them could have a good outing, but you're not going to get it consistent.
We got two. We got Burns. We got Rodriguez.
Right. And the other three guys may give you a spot good start, but you can't trust them, you know, on a daily basis.
Cannot right now. And, you know, because the thing that you say about Kramer is all right, when you saw Kramer, you know, and we heard about the outings down in Norfolk or in the minors, was this was more like the minor league stuff. So was the game that he pitched the other night against Seattle, was that kind of...
That was just a good matchup.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's your initial gut reaction is, you know, man, how bad are the Mariners?
Yeah.
That, you know, you don't even muster anything. You get shut out. It was only five innings. It was a shorter outing. But, you know, had he not been coming back from injury, he gets a longer leash there. They pulled him around 80 pitches or so, somewhere between 80 and 85. And he struck out eight. I mean, he was dominating that lineup. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that was more telling about the Mariners than Dean. Not to, you know, crap on him. He did pitch well. You give him credit. But I agree. I think last night's a little bit closer to where he is as a pitcher right now than last Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, you start looking at Dean's last few starts, and it's a mixed bag. And you look at, you know, probably the last three out of his last four outings, they haven't been great. He gave up five earned runs last night. We mentioned the Seattle start, which was fantastic. The start before that against St. Louis, he only goes four, gives up five in that game as well with the six hits. And the start before that wasn't flat out terrible. He had 10 strikeouts against the Diamondbacks, only 5 2/3. And that was more, he did give up three runs in that game. Diamondbacks went on to score nine, so bullpen didn't really help him out either. But he did take the L there. He's taken the L in three of his last four starts. That's not what you want to see. And I don't know if it's how healthy he is these days. I'm imagining he's healthy enough to go out there and take the ball because he's doing it. I just kind of think this is where Dean is right now.
Yeah. And I thought Baker, you know, and he had 4 days off and he was throwing some heat yesterday. So I thought he pitched extremely well. Norm, I think, are you the one? Tate makes me nervous, man. You know,
he hasn't had it at any point this year. I mean, if he has, it was maybe for an outing or two in a row. And that's been kind of crushing. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been other major factories, the injuries being number one. Danny Coulomb comes to mind out of the pen being injured. Bautista, obviously. But, I mean, people were really banking on Dylan Tate to be not just a factor in the bullpen, but a setup guy. I mean, maybe even a candidate to close if things got dicey with Kimbrel, and he hasn't even been close to that. I don't even trust him in some lower leverage situations. You're really picking your spots with him, and I don't know what you do. I mean, you keep rolling him out there, but if they're going to acquire someone at the deadline, I mean, he's closer to the bottom of the list. He's down there with the guys like Aiken.
No, I'm agreeing. And coming into the year, I had high hopes for Dylan Tate. Last year, he had the injury problems, and I felt like the bullpen kind of felt his absence. So I thought him coming back and being healthy would give them a lift, because the last time we saw him, 2 years ago, he was pretty good for the Orioles. So I've been disappointed with what we've gotten in totality from Dylan Tate to this point as well. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll keep it going with some of this Orioles talk. Jordan Westberg, he gets added to the All-Star game. A lot of folks were feeling like the Orioles were slighted in their representation in the All-Star game out in Texas. Does Jordan Westberg getting in change our view on that? We'll talk about it next here on the Fan.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Yeah. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're talking some Orioles baseball right now. Jordan Westberg, he will be joining the American League All-Stars out in Texas. He'll be replacing Rafael Devers at third base. That gives the Orioles now 4 All-Stars. He'll be joining Corbin Burns, Adley Rutschman, and Gunnar Henderson as the Orioles representatives. And before Jordan Westberg was announced as an All-Star, a lot of people felt like the Orioles were slighted. Yep. To, you know, they're one of the best teams in baseball. I would say they have the best offense in baseball right now. And they only had 2 positional players going. And, you know, Burns was kind of a no-brainer. You could say Rodriguez is a snub. You could say
Kimbrel.
Kimbrel maybe is a snub, I would say. I think there's an argument to be made for Kimbrel. I think you could say O'Hearn is a possible snub as well. Santander also, if you want to go that route. But now with Westberg joining the fold and giving the Orioles 4 All-Stars, do you feel like this kind of solves that for you?
Yeah, I guess it does. But when you compare it with what other teams have, and you've got one of the better records in baseball, you're kind of wondering why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the biggest thing to me, because, like you said, I mean, Kimbrel's been awesome as of late. You know, what, for the last month or six weeks, he's been awesome. O'Hearn's been spectacular, especially clutch hitting and everything else. I thought O'Hearn deserved to go. Norm, you follow this pretty closely. What do you think?
Well, I think it just goes to show here that Westberg, you know, the first name on the list to be an injury replacement for Rafael Devers, who stepped out. It just shows that he was blocked by Isak Paredes making it. And, you know, the Rays had to have a representative. He's been their best player this year, or most all-star worthy. So he gets in, and he was blocking him at third base. Had the Rays had a more, you know, convincing all-star, say, in their bullpen, their starting rotation, anywhere else on the diamond, Westberg's probably in it earlier this week. But that's just the way it goes.
And if you look at fan voted, I mean, Westberg had more fan votes than Rafael Devers did. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think
O'Hearn was right. What about Mountcastle?
They had multiple guys. A lot of these guys made it into phase 2 of the voting. So I think there's an argument to be made for quite a few of these guys. I mean, I think it... You know, it satisfies me as much as I can. Look, the Orioles they're not going to take over the entire roster. Getting 4 on there, I haven't gone through to see, you know, how many players are represented in each team, but I would imagine four is kind of towards the top.
No.
Who's got?
Padres had five.
I mean, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Phillies,
I mean, it's
going to
be
seven.
Well, the Phillies are just.
Yeah.
That's, the Guardians had, what, five or six?
Seven is kind of ridiculous. I mean, I don't know. I think seven is kind of crazy. And I'm looking here at the Phillies All-Stars. Not that they don't deserve it, because they have an argument to be made of having the best team in baseball. Just with their pitching staff alone, they're going to have at least three or four pitchers in there representing them. And then you got the Schwarbers, I mean, the Bryce and all of those guys. So I could get that on the National League. I'm more so meant on the American League side. I don't, looking at it, just quick glance, I thought the Yankees probably would have more just off of name. And same with Cleveland. But I feel like everybody that's in here should be here.
The Royals
for the most
had
part.
Four
is respectable. Yeah. I mean, the O's had four last year, four this year. I mean, individual basis, you could go case by case, and I'm with you. I mean, Mountcastle, O'Hearn, Santander, you get to the final round of voting. I don't understand how you're excluded then when the final roster comes out if you made it to the final two of voting. But, hey, I don't make the rules.
Well, fan voting has been – I don't – it's crazy. They blow it up to get everybody to do it, and then it's like – it's just a suggestion after a while. Same thing with the NFL. Wasn't it Tua that like led all quarterbacks in fan voting and didn't even get to start didn't even get in? I think he had to ended up being a reserve for the Pro Bowl. I mean, what is the point of having fans vote if you're not taking the vote? I don't understand that sometimes. But yeah, I think it's – I'm satisfied. Sure, I would have loved to have seen O'Hearn get in and Grayson get in. Those are the first two that come to mind for me that – I would say are probably the biggest snubs out of the guys that are left off for the Orioles. But I think I'm okay now with Westbrook. And Westbrook for sure should be an All-Star.
The only thing you don't like to hear is like, well, such and such got in because Major League Baseball wants him in because he wanted, which guy was it that wanted to play in the home run hitting derby? Otherwise he wouldn't go. He had to be able to do both. Otherwise he wouldn't go. So Major League Baseball said, all right, he's in.
Right, and I mean, it used to be that the manager of each team would be kind of the final say, at least for picking his pitching staff. But now, I mean, Bruce Bochy said last week, because they asked him, he said, hey, kind of going to pick your own guys or see any cases where you can get some of your own guys in the All-Star game. And he just flat out said, he's like, I don't have control over that. I mean, I'm just the manager of the game. I'm not picking the roster. So beyond the fan vote, the players have a vote. I know that.
Right.
But how are they weighted against each other? That seems to be the disconnect.
Yeah, it seems like MLB's making all the calls.
Shocker.
Yeah, I mean, that's why Kimbrough didn't get in. They took the Yankees guy, and if you look at all the stats, Kimbrough deserves to be in. So,
I think with Kimbrough, especially here locally, you're going to have people that, because he's irked people at times, you know. He's had his stretches, and I think the numbers are there. You look at, he's one of the league leaders in saves. We know what he's done all time. And I'm not one of those people that's like, you know, oh, well, he's been in, so it's okay to leave him off. I'm all about whoever's deserving this year. I mean, I don't care how many All-Star games they've been to. If they deserve to be there this year, then they should go. I'm not about just putting people in just to say that they got in. Like, this is the big leagues.
Yeah, the only thing, and we talked about it the other day, the only thing that, you know, where a player gets screwed, you know, like Westbrook, if in his contract, let's say, you know, if I make the All-Star game, I get a $250,000 bonus, and he's losing out because, you know, this crappy team doesn't have any other players. So that's what kind of sucks. So, like, does Westbrook still get it? Because, like, in NFL contracts, what they changed up to do is, because, like you said, Tua, and just like Tyler Huntley got into Pro Bowl, first ballot. You get your bonus if you're first ballot Pro Bowl. So I don't know what baseball's contracts say, but you feel bad for the guys if they've got a nice little bonus in there for first ballot. Now, if you're the manager and you're Elias and stuff, and you'd like, I'd like to have my guys in there, but having a week off or 5 days off is a big bonus, too, for a team that's pushing for the World Series.
Right. I mean, think about, though, a guy like Grayson Rodriguez. I mean, he's a Texas guy. Yeah. So, I mean, he's going back home anyway.
Right.
I mean, hey, should be in the All-Star game, too. It's not that far from home. Pitching in front of a lot of family, presumably. Mm-hmm. It would have been a perfect opportunity. But, hey, there's always next year.
410-583-1057 is the number if you want to jump in. Coming up next here, we'll take some of your calls, continue to talk some Orioles. We know they need pitching. Are they going to be able to get that pitching that they need before the deadline? We'll talk about that and more next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw. He is behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday, talking some Orioles baseball. Orioles lose 9-2 last night to the Chicago Cubs in game one of that series. They're back at it tonight. Dean Kramer took the loss last night. We'll see if Corbin Burns can right the ship for the Orioles as he's on the bump for the Birds tonight. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Tony in Bel Air. Tony, you're on The Fan.
Hey, good morning, Corlin. How are you?
Not bad.
Hey, point on Burns. Burns should have started last night, should have started Sunday, and should have started the Friday after the All-Star game, giving him three starts in the next seven games. If he wanted to spend time with his family, which he should, he would have been off Sunday night through Friday morning if he bypassed the All-Star game. Pitching the All-Star game for Corbin is not going to make a difference. He's getting $45 to $50 million no matter what as a free agent. So those were all the right decisions if you're trying to win a championship. In regards to Kramer, Kramer throws non-competitive pitches. He came up with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball and a 12-6 curveball as his out pitch, but he continues to nibble at the plate. He needs to start getting the mentality of like a Grayson Rodriguez or a Corbin Burns. I don't see that bulldog mentality out there, and he pitches soft. If he pitches aggressive and to his ability, I think we can see the right Kramer. And those are my points. You have a great show. Thank you for your objectivity, unlike the morning show.
I appreciate the call. And I'll say this about Burns in the All-Star game. I don't think it should be a situation where, like, I don't want to, I'm not looking at him the wrong way because he wants to pitch in the All-Star game. If that's, now, I will say, like I said earlier, if they solely gave him this off day just so he could do that, then I would have an issue. But I don't, I'm not expect, I hear you when you say if he wants to spend time with his family, he'll bypass the All-Star game. I don't think that's necessarily fair. Like, if he gets voted in,
right,
and he can pitch it, then all right, then he should be able to do that and then use the rest of that time off. But yeah, I mean, to his overall point, I want to see Burns pitch as much as you can. He's your ace, you know, as often as you can do it.
Hyder and Elias, and to me, this was a well-discussed, well-thought-out deal. You know, I don't think it was just like Burns. I want to pitch in the All-Star game. I think it was thought out, and I think Burns, you know, maybe he said, I need another day.
Right.
You know, he's... Cordell, you just dealt with, you know, young... I mean, you got a one-year-old, so you know what he's been going through.
And it's just one of him.
Norm will find out one day when you can't sleep at night, the baby's crying. I remember Vincent was crying so bad one time. I took him, I put him, because he says, you know, I put him on the washer and dryer, you know, because... The shaking, you know, kind of put him to sleep.
Mm.
That didn't work either. I mean, wow. it can be kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, crying isn't fun. The crying is not the fun part. But even his points on Kramer as well.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Also, Kramer definitely tries to nibble. He definitely tries to pitch a little too fine at times, whereas Grayson, they're coming after you. And that's because they trust their stuff. They know you can't touch it. And Kramer doesn't pitch with the power that those guys do, obviously. Burns is kind of just like the perfect pitching machine. You know, he's not the most powerful pitcher, but he's also a guy that has great control over his stuff. And he can put the ball wherever he wants to. Kramer, I think, it gets him into trouble when he's trying to nibble, like the caller said, and the problem with him, and I think this has been a big problem for Kramer throughout his career, is that one problem ends up snowballing into another issue. If things aren't almost going perfect for Kramer in the game, he's going to look like crap that night. I don't see many outings where Kramer starts off slow and he's able to kind of right the ship and look dominant towards the end. That's kind of my issue with him. And that's what you need out of not only your starting pitchers, but pitchers that you're going to be counting on to start games in October. That was their problem last year. Some of these pitchers, they go out there in that series against the Rangers, they just couldn't catch themselves. Yeah. Granted, the offense wasn't there for them either, but the pitching, it just felt like, I mean, I remember that game Kramer pitched. It was awful. It was awful.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. That's what we were saying earlier. I just kind of think this is who Kramer is.
Yeah. I think when I see Rodriguez and you're talking about, you know, his attitude on the mound, he reminds me like a Brett Favre, you know, cocky, arrogant, I can do anything. I can throw the ball through you kind of thing. And I don't care if the guy's covered, I'm still throwing. To me, that's kind of like Rodriguez, I feel like. You know, like he's out there and he's on the mound saying, I'm better than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to get you out. Whereas I don't know that Kramer's got, like you said, got that dog in him. You know, and Burns, I think he just, you know, hey, I can figure this out.
Yeah.
I'm better than all you guys. You know, because he's so calm, cool, collective on the mound, like nothing bothers him. You know, or like he gets excited when a guy makes a great catch, which is cool. You know, so Norm, what do you think, Norm?
Right, I think Cordell made a good point about limiting damage. You know, for example, last night you give up that home run to Bush in the first inning. All right, it's a solo shot. Who cares? I mean, how many times has Corbin Burns given up an early solo shot in a game this year?
Right.
And that ends up being the only damage against him. Look, last night was far from a perfect game for the O's. The loss is not solely on Kramer.
No.
He only scored two runs offensively. That's just not going to get it done. The defense, a couple costly errors there in the third. It was a team loss. But if we're evaluating Kramer on an individual level, all right, the following inning, after you had the two errors went against you in the third, giving up the three-run jack there to Happ in the fourth, I'm sorry. I mean, that's on him. You know, it's a mistake pitch at the worst possible time. You put the runners on base, or however they got on base, doesn't matter. You made the mistake pitch to give up the big blast, and it was the key swing in the game. So it's mostly on him. I mean, he got let down by his offense a little bit and the defense.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, this loss is mostly on him.
Yeah. And look, we know they need pitching. We've
talk
been beating
about
that drum,
right?
You know, all season. We understand that with the deadline vastly approaching, and it's 20 days away at this point. Deadline, I think, is what, July 30th, right? I believe
end
it
of the
is.
Month, yep.
So, at this point, 1 through 10, and Vinny, I'll start with you. What is your confidence level that they will get the pitching that they need before the end of the deadline?
Will they get it? To me, the biggest problem is, you know, people say, oh, they need to get somebody now. No, they don't, because you're going to overpay right now. And there's not enough teams that are sellers right now. So you got to wait and you got to be patient. And as much as you feel like, I know I need a guy, I want to go get a guy, right now is not the time. You just, you know, you got to just be patient and let the price come down, because the only way the price comes down if more teams are sellers. Otherwise, if it stays as is, if you know, there's only five teams that are sellers and these are the guys on the market, you're not getting you're going to get possibly a 3 or a 4 at best. You're not getting that blockbuster that you would like to get. Because that's not happening, because there's not enough pitchers out there to go get, unless you're just willing to way overpay. And watching Mike Elias work, he's not gonna give away those prospects.
Right. So if 10 is most confident here, I'm probably about a 7.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll make a move. I'm just not convinced that it's going to be, like Vinny said,
the
that
move.
Slam dunk that the fan base is going to instantly go, wow, or a name recognition guy, or oh, we know who that is. He's great. He's elite. I mean, look at what happened last year.
Right.
A little bit of a different situation in terms of when the competitive window started, but they didn't make flashy moves last year. It was Flaherty and it was
Fuji.
And Fuji was an early, well before the deadline move, and Flaherty was your only, like, kind of at the deadline move.
And you'll take a Flaherty at the deadline this year.
You'll take an innings eater.
Right. So that's why I say a seven. I'm confident they're going to make a move. I just don't know what caliber it's going to be.
I just think that you almost have to do something, but it's got to be positive because in the clubhouse, players know. I mean, they played against this guy. They know how much this guy's going to help, not help, kind of thing. Like when Burns came in, everybody knew, hey, we got us a stud. Now, if they just, you know, if they get a three or four, all right, we know we need that. Just give us some innings.
And the immediate reaction, again, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but if you want to fast forward to the end of the month, the day after the trade deadline.
It'll be here like yesterday.
Exactly. Elias is going to be judged fairly or unfairly in that moment based on what kind of moves are made. Mm-hmm. We're not on the phone call or all the phone calls he's having. I mean, what are those conversations like? If he's wheeling and dealing all day, but everyone he's talking to and saying, we want Jackson Holliday.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's a non-starter, assuming based on the guys that are available on the market. I mean, if we're talking Scooble or an elite starter, then yeah, Holiday's in that conversation. But everyone who's been presented so far as available, rentals especially, no. Nowhere close to the elite prospects the Orioles have. So it's a two-way street. No doubt that Elias is doing his part. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if the other side of things is going to hold up.
And that was the problem last year, was that people were asking for players that the Orioles deemed untouchable, the Jackson Holidays of the world. And while where nobody's upset that Mike Elias didn't trade Jackson Holiday, there were still, you know, people still weren't happy about the fact that they didn't get much done at the deadline. I would say right now, my confidence level is at a six. I think that the longer this goes on and they don't get anybody, the more it starts, because we're not going to get to the day of and all of a sudden they're going to get the guy. I think that's going to happen.
I think it's going to happen the 29th or 30th.
I think they'll have to overpay, because at that point everybody's scrambling. Everybody's trying to make a move before the clock strikes 12.
No, because then you've got a lot more teams that are selling. Right now you got 5. You don't have enough. You need like if there could be 12, you need some teams, you know, to go on some losing streaks and say, you know, we're out of this. You need the Cubs. You need some of these other people to fall out, Texas or who, you know.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster here with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw McGraw. He is behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday talking some Orioles baseball. Orioles lose 9-2 last night to the Chicago Cubs in game one of that series. They're back at it tonight. Dean Kramer took the loss last night. We'll see if Corbin Burnes can right the ship for the Orioles as he's on the bump for the Birds tonight. 410-583-1057 is the number. Let's go to Tony in Bel Air. Tony, you're on the Fan.
Hey, good morning, Cortland. How are you?
Not bad.
Hey, point on Burnes. Burnes should have started last night, should have started Sunday, and should have started the Friday after the All-Star game, giving him three starts in the next seven games. If he wanted to spend time with his family, which he should, he would have been off Sunday night through Friday morning. If he bypassed the All-Star game, pitching the All-Star game for Corbin is not going to make a difference. He's getting $45 to $50 million no matter what as a free agent. So those were all the right decisions if you're trying to win a championship. In regards to Kramer, Kramer throws non-competitive pitches. He came up with a 96-mile-an-hour fastball and a 12-6 curveball as his out pitch, but he continues to nibble at the plate. He needs to start getting the mentality of like a Grayson Rodriguez or a Corbin Burnes. I don't see that bulldog mentality out there, and he pitches soft. If he pitches aggressive and to his ability, I think we can see the right Kramer. And those are my points. You have a great show. Thank you for your objectivity, unlike the morning show.
I appreciate the call. And I'll say this about Burnes in the All-Star game. I don't think it should be a situation where, like, I don't want to, I'm not looking at him the wrong way because he wants to pitch in the All-Star game. If that's, now, I will say, like I said earlier, if they solely gave him this off day just so he could do that, then I would have an issue. But I hear you when you say if he wants to spend time with his family, he'll bypass the All-Star game. I don't think that's necessarily fair. Like, if he gets voted in
right,
and he can pitch it, then all right, then he should be able to do that and then use the rest of that time off. But yeah, I mean, to his overall point, I want to see Burnes pitch as much as you can. He's your ace, you know.
That Hyder and Elias, and to me, this was a well discussed, well thought out deal. You know, I don't think it was just like Burnes, I want to pitch in the All-Star game. I think it was thought out, and I think Burnes, you know, maybe he said, I need another day.
Right.
You know, he's, Cordell, you just dealt with, you know, young, I mean, you got a one-year-old, so you know what he's been
and
going
it's just
through.
One of him.
Norm will find out one day when you can't sleep at night, the baby's crying. I remember Vincent was crying so bad one time. I put him on the washer and dryer, you know, because the shaking, you know, kind of put him to sleep. Mm. That didn't work either. I mean, wow. it can be kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah, crying isn't fun. The crying is not the fun part. But even his points on Kramer as well.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Also, Kramer definitely tries to nibble. He definitely tries to pitch a little too fine at times, whereas Grayson, they're coming after you. And that's because they trust their stuff. They know you can't touch it. And Kramer doesn't pitch with the power that those guys do, obviously. Burnes is kind of just like the perfect pitching machine. You know, he's not the most powerful pitcher, but he's also a guy that has great control over his stuff, and he can put the ball wherever he wants to. Kramer, I think it gets him into trouble when he's trying to nibble, like the caller said, and the problem with him, and I think this has been a big problem for Kramer throughout his career, is that one problem ends up snowballing into another issue. If things aren't almost going perfect for Kramer in the game, he's going to look like crap that night. I don't see many outings where Kramer starts off slow and he's able to kind of right the ship and look dominant towards the end. That's kind of my issue with him. And that's what you need out of not only your starting pitchers, but pitchers that you're going to be counting on to start games in October. That was their problem last year. Some of these pitchers, they go out there in that series against the Rangers, they just couldn't catch themselves. Yeah. Granted, the offense wasn't there for them either, but the pitching, it just felt like, I mean, I remember that game Kramer pitched. It was awful. It was awful.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. That's what we were saying earlier. I just kind of think this is who Kramer is.
Yeah. I think when I see Rodriguez and you're talking about, you know, his attitude on the mound, he reminds me like a Brett Favre, you know, cocky, arrogant, I can do anything. I can throw the ball through you kind of thing. And I don't care if the guy's covered, I'm still throwing. To me, that's kind of like Rodriguez, I feel like, you know, like he's out there and he's on the mound saying, I'm better than you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to get you out. Whereas I don't know that Kramer's got, like you said, got that dog in him, you know, and Burns, I think he just, you know, hey, I can figure this out.
Yeah.
I'm better than all you guys. You know, because he's so calm, cool, collective on the mound, like nothing bothers him. You know, or like he gets excited when a guy makes a great catch, which is cool. You know, so Norm, what do you think, Norm?
Right, I think Cordell made a good point about limiting damage. You know, for example, last night you give up that home run to Bush in the first inning. All right, it's a solo shot. Who cares? I mean, how many times has Corbin Burns given up an early solo shot in a game this year?
Right.
And that ends up being the only damage against him. Look, last night was far from a perfect game for the O's. The loss is not solely on Kramer.
No.
You only scored two runs offensively. That's just not going to get it done. The defense, a couple costly errors there in the third. It was a team loss. But if we're evaluating Kramer on an individual level, all right, the following inning after you had the two errors went against you in the third, giving up the three-run jack there to Happ in the fourth, I'm sorry. I mean, that's on him. You know, it's a mistake pitch at the worst possible time. You put the runners on base or however they got on base, doesn't matter. You made the mistake pitch to give up the big blast, and it was the key swing in the game. So it's mostly on him. I mean, he got let down by his offense a little bit and the defense.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, this loss is mostly on him.
Yeah. And look, we know they need pitching. We've
talk
been beating
about
that drum,
right?
You know, all season. We understand that with the deadline vastly approaching, and it's 20 days away at this point. Deadline, I think, is what, July 30th, right? I believe
end
it
of
is.
The month, yep.
So, at this point, 1 through 10, and Vinny, I'll start with you. What is your confidence level that they will get the pitching that they need before the end of the deadline?
Will they get it? To me, the biggest problem is, you know, people say, oh, they need to get somebody now. No, they don't, because you're going to overpay right now. And there's not enough teams that are sellers right now. So you got to wait and you got to be patient. And as much as you feel like, I know I need a guy, I want to go get a guy, right now is not the time. You just, you know, you got to just be patient and let the price come down, because the only way the price comes down if more teams are sellers. Otherwise, if it stays as is, if you know there's only five teams that are sellers and these are the guys on the market, you're not getting you're going to get possibly a 3 or a 4 at best. You're not getting that blockbuster that you would like to get. Because that's not happening, because there's not enough pitchers out there to go get unless you're just willing to way overpay. And watching Mike Elias work, he's not gonna give away those prospects.
Right. So if 10 is most confident here, mm-hmm. I'm probably about a 7.
Mm-hmm.
I think they'll make a move. I'm just not convinced that it's going to be, like Vinny said, slam dunk that the fan base is going to instantly go, wow, or a name recognition guy, or, oh, we know who that is. He's great. He's elite. I mean, look at what happened last year.
Right.
A little bit of a different situation in terms of when the competitive window started, but They didn't make flashy moves last year. It was Flaherty and it was
Fuji.
And Fuji was an early, well before the deadline move. And Flaherty was your only, like, kind of at the deadline move.
And you'll take a Flaherty at the deadline this year.
You'll take an innings eater.
Right. So that's why I say a seven. I'm confident they're going to make a move. I just don't know what caliber it's going to be.
I just think that you almost have to do something, but it's got to be positive because in the clubhouse, players know. I mean, they played against this guy. They know how much this guy's going to help, not help, kind of thing. Like when Burns came in, everybody knew, hey, we got us a stud. Now, if they just, you know, if they get a three or four, all right, we know we need that. Just give us some innings.
And the immediate reaction, again, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here, but if you want to fast forward to the end of the month, the day after the trade deadline.
It'll be here like yesterday.
Exactly. You know, Elias is going to be judged fairly or unfairly in that moment based on what kind of moves are made.
Mm-hmm.
We're not on the phone call or all the phone calls he's having. I mean, what are those conversations like? If he's wheeling and dealing all day, but everyone he's talking to and saying, we want Jackson Holliday.
Right.
Well, I mean, that's a non-starter, assuming based on the guys that are available on the market. I mean, if we're talking Scooble or an elite starter, then yeah, Holiday's in that conversation. But everyone who's been presented so far as available, rentals especially, no. Nowhere close to the elite prospects the Orioles have. So it's a two-way street. No doubt that Elias is doing his part. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if the other side of things is going to hold up.
And that was the problem last year, was that people were asking for players that the Orioles deemed untouchable, the Jackson Holidays of the world. And while nobody's upset that Mike Elias didn't trade Jackson Holiday, there were still, you know, people still weren't happy about the fact that they didn't get much done at the deadline. I would say right now, my confidence level is at a six. I think that the longer this goes on and they don't get anybody, the more it starts, because we're not going to get to the day of and all of a sudden they're going to get the guy. I think it's going to happen
the 29th or 30th.
I think they'll have to overpay, because at that point everybody's scrambling. Everybody's trying to make a move before the clock strikes 12.
No, because then you've got a lot more teams that are selling. Right now you got five. You don't have enough. You need, like, if there could be 12, you need some teams, you know, to go on some losing streaks and say, you know, we're out of this. You need the Cubs. You need some of these other people to fall out. Texas or who, you know, you need some of those guys to fall out, man. Right now you don't. And for Elias to make a move just to make a move, I don't think he does that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll do that. I just don't think teams are going – everybody knows what everybody needs. I think the price is going to go up the closer we get to the deadline, personally.
But it really only applies to rental players. I mean, because, you know, if you got a guy that you're looking to deal and you're a selling team, but he's got still years of control after this, it's not absolutely necessary that you deal him.
That's what I'm saying. Right. So they'll keep him.
There's no hard out. You'd like to get it done. You're really looking to get it done, right. But if it doesn't happen, it's not the end of the world. Rentals is a different story, but they're already coming at a cheaper price. So it's kind of a moot point.
And the Orioles aren't looking for those rentals, right? They're looking, would imagine, maybe. I mean, maybe
not
there's
their
a
first
rent-
choice,
yeah,
but yeah.
They probably have somebody with that they have some control. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, let's switch gears, get to the Ravens of it all. Rookies will be reporting on the 13th. The veterans
Saturday,
on the 20th.
Saturday, Cornell.
Yeah, it's here. It's here. Football season is here. Last year, Jadeveon Clowney turned out to be a huge pickup for the Ravens after training camp had already started. Same with Kyle Van Noy. These were two of their top three forward sack leaders on the team last year. Is this year's sack leader on the roster right now? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland on the mic filling in for Bob Haney. Still with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. We're talking some Ravens right now, and we're trying to figure out if the Ravens sack leader for this season is already on the roster. I still expect them to possibly add another edge rusher. I think they need to add another pass rusher at some point. And I think there's some quality guys still out there available. And this is kind of the time of year where the last few years, who would you? I mean, I'm still kind of open to a Yannick Ngakoue return. Honestly,
the only thing with that is, and we talked about it yesterday, is with Ngakoue, and you may know this because you were in a locker. How was he in a locker room? I know this. I know in Wink's defense, he wasn't a good fit.
Right.
And here's why. Because in Wink's defense, Wink is very structured with his pass rushers, and they don't have freedom to go inside or out. If you're supposed to go inside, you go inside. If you're supposed to go outside, you stay outside. Whereas with Mike McDonald, they had the freedom. Mm-hmm. If you felt like you could beat him inside, jump inside. And to me, that's kind of what Ngakoue needed, that freedom to line up wide, kind of do your thing more so. So I don't know. What was he like in a locker room, Cordell? Because that would be, I mean, if Harbs thought he was a jerk in a locker room, there's no way, you know, that they would consider.
Well, I wasn't covering a team that year that he was here. I was producing Inside Access that year. But definitely he wasn't a fit for the scheme that they were running.
No.
At the time, and I think that's changed now. He's an instinct. Yep. I mean, look, if nothing else, he showed immediately after he left, he can still get to the quarterback. That was clear. And I think the Ravens now are in the way that their scheme is run. It does empower their pass rushers to, hey, just get there. Just get there, whatever you got to do. So I would be open to him coming back. I don't know what his feelings are, you know, considering how it went last time. I don't know if maybe he was so upset with how he was used before that maybe he turned into being a problem in the locker room or with the coaches. I'm not sure about that, but I just look at this roster right now, and sure, Madubuike's still there, and he was the sack leader last year, and he was so good last year. I'm struggling on what to expect from Madubuike again as an interior pass rusher.
Would you take 10?
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Easily. Definitely. Anytime you could get double-digit sacks from an interior guy, I'm going to take that every day. I just don't know if that is his floor now. You know, I'm curious to see what it looks
that's
like for him now.
Expectations for him.
You think?
And
yeah.
Pro Bowl. I mean, if not, that's what he got paid mm-hmm. for, and that's what you're expecting from him. Cordell, I think what they will do, knowing the Ravens, they're going to let it play out. Because none of those veteran guys want to come into training camp right now.
Oh, anyway. Yeah. And they've shown that they don't, you know, that they'll allow guys.
They're not
you know, they'll
panic.
Right. Yeah, they'll sign guys
and
afterwards.
Because they want to see two things, or three things. They want to see if Oway takes a jump, you know, here. And then they want to see what Adisa Isaac, because we don't have a clue
right,
what Adisa looks like. And then what's Ajabo going to be? You know, so I think, and would they do something? When would they bring in somebody? Maybe after the second preseason game, I would think, Cordell. If they feel like they need somebody, I think you go get somebody after the second preseason game, because then, you know, you only got, what, about 10 days till the Chiefs game?
So my thing is, if we all can agree that this is – the Ravens are still, despite a lot of the turnover, especially on that side of the ball, this is still looked at as a championship contender. I would make the argument – you get to the AFC Championship game last year. You host the AFC Championship game. It's pretty much Super Bowl or bust for the Ravens right now. That's where they are.
I think it's the same for the O's and the Ravens. Cordell, when I was in San Fran, we lost two NFC Championship games at home.
So I say that to say, can you afford to go into the season with, you just named three question marks alone in their pass rush grouping,
yeah.
Isaac, Oway, and Ajabo. I mean, that's just not something I feel comfortable with, especially with the type of quarterbacks that they're going to have to play just to start the year, let alone as the year goes on.
What do you want from Van Noy? I mean, he had, what, 9 last year? Can you expect 9 from him again this year? I think Clowney was a big part of that, because Clowney was one getting doubled.
I do too.
And chipped and
I think
stuff.
It was a big part of a lot of their success in the pass rush.
And here's what I said about, you know, Adisa Isaac is in the preseason games, he's got to do what we saw Clowney do. And what do I mean by that? I mean, like, every time we watch the game, it's like, damn, you notice 24 all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Adisa's number 50. We got to, and when we're talking about the preseason games, as hard as a pain in the ass as it is, it's like, damn, 50 showed up again.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like Keaton Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be that guy. Somebody's got to take the reins and somebody's got to show up. Ajabo is going to get work in the preseason. He needs it. He hasn't had a lot of play time.
He didn't show up much in the preseason.
No,
last
he didn't.
Year.
He looked. He just, in Michigan, he looked like he had great bend and stuff, you know, and natural. And there he looked kind of stiff. That was the only thing.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Tar Koppovich. He covers the Ravens for BaltimoreSports.com. We'll ask him if the Ravens sack leader for this season is already on this roster. He also does some work with the Orioles as well, so we'll talk some baseball with him. That's next here on The Fan. Vinny and Haney back here on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland on the mic filling in for Bob Haney. Still with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass on this Woman Crush Wednesday. We're talking some Ravens right now, and we're trying to figure out if the Ravens sack leader for this season is already on the roster. I still expect them to possibly add another edge rusher. I think they need to add another pass rusher at some point, and I think it's some quality guys still out there available. And this is kind of the time of year where the
who would you?
I mean, I'm still kind of open to a Yannick Ngakoue return. Honestly,
you know, the only thing with that is, and we talked about it yesterday, is with Ngakoue, and you may know this because you were in a locker. How was he in a locker room? I know this. I know in Wink's defense, he wasn't a good fit.
Right.
And here's why: because in Wink's defense, Wink is very structured with his pass rushers, and they don't have freedom to go inside or out. If you're supposed to go inside, you go inside. If you're supposed to go outside, you stay outside. Whereas with Mike McDonald, they had the freedom. Mm-hmm. If you felt like you could beat him inside, jump inside. And to me, that's kind of what Ngakoue needed, that freedom to line up wide, kind of do your thing more so. So I don't know. What was he like in a locker room, Cordell? Because that would be, I mean, if Harbs thought he was a jerk in a locker room, there's no way, you know, that they would consider.
Well, I wasn't covering a team that year that he was here. I was producing Inside Access that year, but definitely he wasn't a fit for the scheme that they were running at the time. And I think that's changed now. He's an instinct. Yep. I mean, look, if nothing else, he showed immediately after he left, he can still get to the quarterback. That was clear. And I think the Ravens now are in the way that their scheme is run. It does empower their pass rushers to, hey, just get there. Just get there, whatever you got to do. So I would be open to him coming back. I don't know what his feelings are, you know, considering how it went last time. I don't know if maybe he was so upset with how he was used before that maybe he turned into being a problem in the locker room or with the coaches. I'm not sure about that. But I just look at this roster right now, and sure, Madubuike still there, and he was the sack leader last year, and he was so good last year. I'm struggling on what to expect from Madubuike again as an interior pass rusher.
Would you take 10?
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Easily. Definitely. Anytime you could get double-digit sacks from an interior guy, I'm going to take that every day. I just don't know if that is his floor now. You know, I'm curious to see what it looks
that's
like for
him now.
Expectations
for him.
You think?
And
yeah.
Pro Bowl. I mean, if not, that's what he got paid mm-hmm. for, and that's what you're expecting from him. Cordell, I think what they will do, knowing the Ravens, they're going to let it play out because none of those veteran guys want to come into training camp right now.
Oh,
anyway.
Yeah. And they've shown that they don't, you know, that they'll allow guys, you know, they'll,
panic.
Right. Yeah. They'll sign guys
and
afterwards.
Because they want to see two things or three things. They want to see if Owe takes a jump, you know, here. And then they want to see what Adisa Isaac, because we don't have a clue what Adisa looks like. And then what's Ajabo going to be? You know, so I think, and would they do something? When would they bring in somebody? Maybe after the second preseason game, I would think, Cordell. If they feel like they need somebody, I think you go get somebody after the second preseason game because then, you know, you only got, what, about 10 days till the Chiefs game?
So my thing is, if we all can agree that this is – the Ravens are still, despite a lot of the turnover, especially on that side of the ball, this is still looked at as a championship contender. I would make the argument you get to the AFC Championship game last year, you host the AFC Championship game, it's pretty much Super Bowl or bust for the Ravens right now. That's where they are.
I think it's the same for the O's and the Ravens. Cordell, when I was in San Fran, we lost two NFC championship games at home.
So I say that to say, can you afford to go into the season with, we already, you just named three question marks alone in their pass rush grouping, Isaac, Owe, and Ajabo. That's just not something I feel comfortable with, especially with the type of quarterbacks that they're going to have to play just to start the year, let alone as the year goes on.
What do you want from Van Noy? I mean, he had, what, 9 last year? Can you expect 9 from him again this year? I think Clowney was a big part of that because Clowney was the one getting doubled.
I do, too.
And chipped and
I think
stuff.
It was a big part of a lot of their success in the pass rush.
And here's what I said about, you know, Adisa Isaac is in the preseason games. He's got to do what we saw Clowney do. And what do I mean by that? I mean, like, every time we watch the game, it's like, damn, you notice 24 all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Adisa's number 50. We got to, and when we're talking about the preseason games, as hard as a pain in the ass as it is, it's like, damn, 50 showed up again.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like Keaton Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be that guy. Somebody's got to take the reins and somebody's got to show up. Ajabo is going to get work in the preseason. He needs it. He hasn't had a lot of play time.
He didn't show up much in the preseason.
No, he didn't. He just, in Michigan, he looked like he had great bend and stuff, you know, and natural. And there he looked kind of stiff. That was the only thing.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Tar Kopervich. He covers the Ravens for BaltimoreSports.com. We'll ask him if the Ravens sack leader for this season is already on this roster. He also does some work with the Orioles as well, so we'll talk some baseball with him. That's next here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.